Welcome to Money Tips by Charles Kelly, author of Yes, Money Can Buy You Happiness. Charles spent over 25 years in financial services, working for banks, insurance companies, and as a qualified independent financial advisor running his practice, before setting up his speaking, consultancy, and property business. Money Tips will help you save, make, and accumulate more money, whether you are a business owner, entrepreneur, employee, or still searching for your vocation.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Charles Kelly, Money Tips. Hope you're having a good day. Welcome to the worldwide madhouse where you've got 3 billion people all over the world getting on for like half the world's population, I guess, in this kind of mass lockdown that is choking the Western economy or the economies of countries like the UK, Europe, America, Australia, and all these countries. While China's economy, they say, well, things are back to normal now. We've got everything okay. We haven't got any more new cases now. Do you believe that? Well, Boris Johnson and the UK government don't believe that. But it is just unbelievable. Imagine you've got 3 billion people. That's nearly half the world's economy in some form of lockdown. And in some countries, like Spain, for instance, you cannot even leave your house to go and walk down the road. And if you're going into shops, there are police outside the shops checking that you've actually done some shopping and say, well, what have you got in your bag? And this sort of stuff to justify why you went out. In the UK, you've got police and drones following people to beauty spots in Derbyshire where nobody is there and they're walking their dogs and, you know, not bothering anybody. And they've been stopped by the police. And the guy said, well, if I walked my dog in the town, I'd be connected to more people. So I've driven here to these hills where I can't see anybody. I'm nowhere near anybody. And the police have said, no, you can't do that. I know in some states in the USA, they've had this lockdown. In others, they haven't. But here it is a kind of a total lockdown, or some might call it house arrest almost. I feel like one of these guys, criminals, have got a tag on their ankle that they can't go more than a few hundred yards from their house. And not that I have ever had a tag, by the way. But I just wonder how long this can go on without doing irreparable damage to the economies of the UK, Europe, and the West, America in particular. And, you know, every day you pick up the papers or look online, you see that another firm is in administration. Today it was Carlichos, the restaurant chain. There was another restaurant chain mentioned the other day. I mean, these are thousands of jobs that are at risk and in jeopardy. You've got companies that can't afford to pay their rents to their landlords. I mean, big companies, big chains of companies that can't afford to pay their rent. Airlines could go bust. And you wonder if any of these jobs will really come back. Once you've lost some of these jobs and lost some of these companies, it's going to take a long time before they will ever come back. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have some measures. But I just wonder about the advice and some of the advice the government has taken to go into these drastic measures. Because a few weeks ago, the line was definitely to take a softly approach and advise people to keep away from other people and only make certain journeys. And then suddenly it was all lockdown. And a few weeks ago, they said that they were going to keep schools open. Now, suddenly they closed them on the advice of, it looks to me like, a handful of advisors. And in particular, advisors from the Imperial College London, and in particular, someone called Professor Neil Ferguson. Now, if you look up Professor Neil Ferguson, spent of Imperial College, you'll see that he originally predicted 500,000 Britons could die from coronavirus, and then prompted Boris Johnson to order a lockdown. But now he's changed these predictions to 250,000. And then in another statement, they said maybe it's only 20,000. And some of his other colleagues I haven't got any virus, by the way, I've just got an itchy nose. So don't worry, you haven't got a virus on your computer. And now they're predicting, some other colleagues at Imperial College are predicting, that it could just be 5,700 deaths. Now, okay, they're going to say, well, that's because we've had this lockdown. But I just think, and then when you look into it further, you see that they're just running computer models, which predict certain deaths based on these assumptions and that assumption and this and that. And now people, other academics, are accusing these models to be flawed. So maybe the government have taken a kind of a knee-jerk reaction. In fact, another professor, Professor Thursfield of Edinburgh, I believe, said that that he believes, he said in the Telegraph over the weekend, this is not coming from some fake news stories, this is coming from the Daily Mail, the Telegraph, you know, trusted journalists, that the episode was a cautionary tale about the limits of mathematical modelling, and he felt a sense of deja vu about the current situation. Now, when he says that deja vu, he's going back to the situation where in the past, these same team of scientists, in particular Neil Ferguson, ordered or advised the government to cull 6 million animals in the country because of this swine fever. And he predicted at that time that 60,000 people would die. And it turns out maybe a few hundred people have died, if that. So these figures, I just wonder. It was a sort of foot and mouth disease transmitted in 2006. He claimed, the Imperial College claimed that foot and mouth disease model was fit for, he said their model at that time was not fit for purpose and was flawed. There was a cull of 6 million animals during the foot and mouth outbreak in 2001, which left rural Britain economically devastated. I mean, rural Britain, we talk about farmers losing their livelihoods here and terrible situations. You remember those situations of whole herds of cattle, perfectly healthy herds of cattle, being slaughtered and shot and dragged away by government officials. It was a terrible situation. And it's these same people that advised the government then, and now they're listening to this same advice. Now, they will probably say, oh, well, if we didn't slaughter the animals, 60,000 people would have died. Well, I think that's frankly bullshit. And sorry, but it's just nonsense. And I think we've got to look at, is anybody really in the main media, like the BBC, for instance, questioning any of these figures and any of the government's action? Well, the answer is no. They're just going along with it. It's like a sort of a wartime footing where the media just gets behind the government and says, oh, thank God for this. And look at our police doing a great job. And that's fine. But they're not really questioning the figures. They're not really delving into why they've gone down this particular road. And this particular road is going to have devastating effects on the economy. I'm sure the big companies on the FTSE 100 index, most of them will bounce back. But what about the small to medium sized businesses? What about the guys that are going to go bankrupt because they can't get out there and do their job? I mean, I this is my own my personal opinion, is this could have been phased in a much more measured fashion, and maybe not have a lockdown, but have a gradual close down so that you leave certain services running and you gradually phase this in, because we've seen that in Italy, this lockdown for over a month now is not really doing much good. In Spain, they've had a lockdown since the 14th of March, but cases are still rising. The other thing I'm worried about is that the type of testing. Now, they've predicted death rates based on just a small number of tests, but German scientists are saying, well, they're testing a lot more people, and their death rates are lower because they've tested more people. In other words, if you test 1,000 people and 100 have died, you say, well, that's a 10% death rate. But you need to test much more. You might test 100,000 people or 1 million people and find that the death rate is much smaller. Other scientists are saying also that we've all got a bit of this coronavirus in us. We've all got a strains of various viruses, from SARS and MERS, and they're all types of coronaviruses. So how do we know when we're testing for coronavirus that is actually COVID-19? Now, a friend of mine was taken into hospital. She had two or three people got together at a do a few weeks back, and three of them got flu-like symptoms, bad flu. And one of them went to the doctor, and she sent a report. She posted it on social media saying, this is what happened. They couldn't do a test because they didn't have the testing equipment, but they've written on the bottom, coronavirus. I think they might have put a question mark on it, but they've written coronavirus on there without any test. So let's say, God forbid, that person did die. They would automatically say, well, that person's died from coronavirus. As it happens, the people concerned are, I think they're in their 30s, early 40s. they're not going to die. They've bounced back as if it was just like you would do with a bad case of flu. I had flu a little while ago, and I bounced back, as you do. But flu kills millions of people every year. Flu itself kills millions of people. But now they're just attributing everything to coronavirus. And in Italy, where the vast majority of people who died were elderly people with other conditions, with respiratory conditions, with other conditions. And we know that most elderly people have not just one condition. They might have several conditions. I mean, they'll be taking pills for high blood pressure. They'll be taking these beta blockers and this and that. So any one thing could trigger a death. And yet they're just saying coronavirus, coronavirus. So we've got to sort of step back a bit and question these things, because yesterday some unknown government official, unknown until now, I think she's stepping in for the chief medical officer. I can't remember her name, but she's now said, well, this lockdown is not just going to be for a few weeks. It could be for 3 months. It could be for 6 months. I mean, who are these people to say that? You know, businesses have been destroyed. It's right for these academics and government officials. They're going to get their salaries every week, come what may. But the rest of us, and particularly self-employed people, are not going to get paid. Yes, the government have brought in measures to help them, and that will help. But that's going to take time to come through. And in the meantime, businesses are going to go to the wall. Large companies are just going to close down, and those jobs will be gone forever. And then it's the state that will be supporting these people. So I think the government should take a more sensible approach and try and get things back to work, get things, the economy back to work as soon as possible. And yes, you can have some restrictions, but you know, until I don't know about the airports now, but until a couple of weeks ago, the airports were open. They were just letting anybody in anyway. So what's the difference? Why shut everything down? I this is my personal opinion now. I think we've got to get things back to normal a lot quicker. And I'm actually in agreement with Trump that we should aim to get this done at some time in April. I know he said Easter, and that's probably not going to happen, April the 12th. But he was ridiculed for saying that. But somebody has to sort of say, no, enough is enough. Let's just put a stop to this and then really look at the figures, look at the research, and take other research into account. And say, well, are these people really dying of COVID-19, or is it some form of respiratory illness? Is it some form of other types of coronavirus that many of us have within us? Because obviously, the more people you test and the more people have had some form of coronavirus, they're going to say, well, everyone's got coronavirus. But I seriously doubt this research, and I'm seriously worried about what it's going to do to the economy in the long run. Look at the property market, for instance. It's just come to a standstill. People can't move. People who are planning to move can't move. Lenders are now panicking. They've got the worry guts. They're pulling mortgage offers. They're pulling mortgage deals. And rates have come down from 0.75. The base rates come down from 0.75 to 0.1, almost zero in the UK and in America. And yet, what have British banks done? They put interest rates up. Yeah, mortgage deals are now more expensive than they were a month ago. And not only that, they've pulled the best deals altogether. So everything's in a panic. And I this is, you know, what will happen to the mortgage market? What will happen to the property market? How long will it take for the property market to bounce back after this period of panic and worry, particularly when many people in the market may not have a job in a few months' time if this is left to fester? So that's my advice to the government, is let's get back to normal as soon as possible. Yes, take precautions, but don't stifle the economy. Don't close down the whole of the UK economy just because a few professors in Imperial College say we must do. And we've got to get back to them. The other thing we've got to do is start bringing manufacturing back to our country, to the UK and to Europe, and stop just outsourcing everything to China. Because now we're so dependent on China that Donald Trump has had to go cap in hand to get ventilators and protective equipment from China. I believe only a few months ago he was sending protective equipment to China. Now we're all having to go cap in hand, and they're sending out faulty testing kits as well. So we've got to get back to a situation where we are more self-reliant with farming, with food, and with manufacturing, and we're not relying on companies like Huawei to run our 5G. and Chinese companies to run and build nuclear power stations in the UK. Come on, UK. We've got the people here that can do this. We don't need to keep outsourcing to China just because it might be the cheapest bid. And we know why they can bid cheaper in China, because they're state controlled, which is actually illegal. We have rules here. We can't let companies bid for contracts and then back them up through the back door with government subsidies. We're not supposed to do that, but China are flouting the rules here. So we have the people here to do it. We've given contracts to other countries because they come in with the lowest quote. And we've got to change that way of tendering. We've got to change it completely so that we put British companies and British jobs first wherever possible. Other countries do it. We should do the same. And then we'll see the economy here rising again and getting back to what it was and putting the great back in Britain. So thanks for listening. Sorry about my little rant there. But I call me mad if you want, but I'm not going into conspiracy theories here. But if you were looking for, if a country wanted to destroy our economy, this is the way that to do it, because and we shouldn't fall for it. We should just get back to normal as soon as possible and get our manufacturing jobs back in the UK pronto. Thanks very much and bye for now. Have a great day. This is Charles Kelly bringing you money tips to help you save, earn, invest, accumulate and enjoy more money. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Money Tips. For more tips and information, visit moneytipsdaily.com. The information given in this podcast is for your entertainment and should not be construed as financial advice. As always, take independent financial advice before making any investment decisions.